All right, so get ready because today we are diving into a world you might not expect. The surprisingly fascinating world of beetles. Specifically, we're headed to Turkey.
Turkey.
Yeah, Turkey. To a wooded pasture in the Eastern Mediterranean region
Oh, very cool.
to uncover some incredible discoveries.
Right. I'm ready.
You might be thinking beetles, really?
Yeah.
But trust me, this is way cooler than you'd imagine.
Okay.
We're using a 2023 research paper as our guide. And what's fascinating is that it revealed 33 beetle species totally new to the scientific record of Turkey.
Wow. That's a huge deal. 33 new species.
33 new species. Okay, so you've got my attention now. So picture this. You're in this beautiful wooded pasture surrounded by these ancient oak trees,
Okay.
some of them centuries old. And within these trees, there's this whole hidden ecosystem teeming with life. And that's where our tiny stars of the show, the Saprophyllic beetles, come in.
Exactly. These beetles are completely dependent on dead or decaying wood.
Wow.
They live in it, feed on it, and play a crucial role in the forest ecosystem.
Okay, so first things first, paint the scene for us.
Okay.
What's special about these wooded pastures on the Dzhokhali Plateau?
Well, they're dotted with these amazing gnarled oak trees, mainly Quercus species. But here's the twist. They're not your typical pristine forest. These oaks have been shaped by humans for centuries through a practice called pollarding.
Pollarding, what is that?
It's actually a pretty clever technique where they cut back branches to the trunk to encourage new growth. The oaks are primarily grazed by goats, and their foliage is essential fodder for the animals. So it's a landscape that reflects this fascinating balance between nature and human activity.
That is really cool. It's amazing how humans have influenced this landscape for so long. But the paper mentions that the Turkish Forest Management System classifies this habitat as degraded oak. Doesn't that sound a little harsh?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it might seem that way, but it really just reflects the impact of human activity on the area. So you've got the dominant oak, Quercus athabiurensis, sharing space with other oak species,
Okay.
like Kew Lobonii and Kew invictoria.
Wow.
There's even some ash trees, Fraxinus angustifolia, mixed in.
Okay, so we've got our scene, a unique human-shaped landscape. Now let's talk about the stars of the show. The researchers found a mind-boggling number of beetles in this habitat, right?
Over 13,000.
Yeah.
Can you imagine sifting through all those
Oh
beetles?
my
It's
goodness.
like a beetle metropolis.
That's incredible. Talk about a deep dive. So tell us, what did they find in this massive collection?
Well, they identified a whopping 242 different species,
Oh, wow.
representing 44 families of beetles.
Okay.
To give you a sense of the diversity, the top three families in terms of species count were Buprestidae, Anobidae, and Tenebrionidae.
Okay. So lots of variety. But what about the sheer number of individual beetles? Were there any families that really dominated the scene?
Absolutely. The Dermestidae family was the most abundant, with a whopping 2,354 individuals. You might recognize them as the pesky museum beetles
Oh,
that
yeah.
love to munch on decaying animal matter.
Yeah, I've heard of those guys. Not so welcome in museums, I guess. So, what were the other big players?
Next up, we've got the Elatidae,
Okay.
or click beetles, with their incredible ability to launch themselves into the air with a click. A
What?
pretty cool escape tactic.
That is so
They
cool.
clocked in at 2,325 individuals.
Okay.
And then there are the Cochilionidae, a huge family that includes weevils, with 1,531 individuals.
Wow. So Dromestidae, Elatidae, and Cochilionidae, the heavy hitters in terms of numbers. But I'm curious, were there any individual species that were particularly abundant?
There's a fascinating tie at the top.
Really?
Two species, Xyloberus dryographus from the Cochilionidae family and E. cardiophorus parvulus from the Elatidae, both had a staggering 11,109 individuals recorded.
11,109 each.
Yep.
Wow, that's impressive. It's almost like they're neck and neck in a beetle population race. And what's really cool is that the abundance of that first one, X. dryographis, makes sense considering the habitat.
Right? It feeds on dead oak branches, which are plentiful in these wooded pastures, thanks to pollarding. That human influence has really shaped the beetle community in interesting ways. And speaking of interesting, the third most abundant beetle, Cetisius maculifasciata from the Dromestidae family, has a pretty unique story.
Oh, I'm intrigued. Tell us more.
It prefers to live in the wood mold inside hollow trees.
What?
Imagine that, a whole world within a tree. We'll come back to this fascinating beetle later.
Okay, I can't wait. But first, let's talk about those 33 new species discovered in Turkey. What stood out to you from those discoveries?
One that really caught my eye was Mordellacina nuvaldigiana. It's a type of tumbling flower beetle. It was the most abundant of the newcomers, with a whopping 155 individuals recorded.
Wow, that's a lot.
And can you guess what Cleporhynchus capitis prefers to eat?
Oak wood.
Exactly. It's like they were made for this habitat. And to add even more variety to the mix, they also found Anthocomus semipolitus, a brightly colored, soft-winged flower beetle. Not what you might expect to find in a degraded habitat, right?
Absolutely. It really highlights the hidden biodiversity that these wooded pastures hold. And speaking of hidden diversity, let's shift gears for a moment and think about what these beetles are actually doing in this ecosystem. It's not just about how many there are, it's about the role they play.
You're absolutely right. We need to think about their function, not just their numbers. And that's where the concept of trophic categories comes in.
Trophic categories. Can you break that down for us?
Think of it as their dietary niche.
Okay.
What do they eat? How do they fit into the food web?
Okay.
The research categorized the beetles based on their feeding habits, giving us a glimpse into their ecological roles.
So it's like understanding their jobs in the forest. Fascinating. What kind of categories did they find?
Well, there's a whole range of them reflecting the diverse roles these beetles play. You've got the Xylophagus beetles, or XY for short, which feed on fresh wood or bark. Think of those impressive longhorn beetles, the Cerambycidae as an example.
So they're the lumberjacks of the beetle world.
Exactly. Then you have the Mycophagus beetles, or MY, the fungi enthusiasts. They're like the forest's cleanup crew, breaking down those decaying fungi. And, of course, we can't forget the Saprophytophagus beetles, or SP, which feed on rotting plant matter.
All right, hey.
They're the master recyclers, ensuring that nutrients are returned to the soil.
It sounds like a well-oiled machine, with each beetle playing its part. But not all of them are herbivores, right?
That's right. We also have the predators,
okay,
or PR. They're like the top dogs of the beetle world.
Oh, wow.
Keeping other insect populations in check.
Like tiny little wolves prowling the forest floor. This is way more exciting than I thought.
And remember our friend Cetacea maculifasciata, the third most abundant beetle?
Yeah.
Well, it actually falls into a different category, SX, or Saproxylophagus.
That's a new one. What does that mean?
It means they feed on dead wood during its entire decomposition process, including that wood mold inside hollow trees.
Wow.
That's a pretty specialized diet.
Imagine spending your whole life in that hidden world inside a hollow tree. Pretty incredible. But are all these beetles doing okay? We've got this amazing diversity. But are any of them facing threats?
That's a crucial question. While this wooded pasture is a haven for beetles, some of them are indeed facing challenges. To assess their conservation status, the research uses the IUCN Red List categories, which are like a global system for tracking the health of species.
Okay, so how do our Turkish beetles measure up on this red list? Are there any that are cause for concern?
Well, the good news is that most of the beetles found in this study are classified as least concern, meaning they're doing relatively well for now.
Okay.
But there are a few species that we need to keep a close eye on.
Oh, no.
Two species, Megapanthes lugens and the iconic Cerambic cerdo, are listed as near threatened.
Cerambic cerdo, that's a name that sticks. What's special about it?
It's a magnificent longhorn beetle. Really impressive to see. Sadly, it's facing habitat loss in many parts of its range.
Oh, no. And what about the others? Any that are even more vulnerable?
Yes. Two more species were found to be vulnerable. Protacea mirifica.
Okay.
A type of flower chafer beetle.
Mm-hmm.
And Propomacris bimucronatus, a rhinoceros beetle. Their decline might be linked to the dwindling number of old hollow trees, which is concerning.
It's like losing those crucial habitats, those penthouse suites for the beetles who prefer that luxurious lifestyle.
Yeah.
And we know that those old trees are important for other reasons too, like providing nesting sites for birds and contributing to the structural diversity of the forest.
Yeah.
So it's a loss on multiple levels. But are there any positive developments in terms of conservation efforts? Any signs of hope for these beetles?
Well, the research itself is a huge step forward.
Okay.
By documenting this biodiversity, highlighting the threats, and providing valuable data, the researchers are raising awareness.
Right.
And giving conservationists and policymakers the information they need to make informed decisions.
Knowledge is power, right? The more we understand, the better equipped we are to protect these incredible creatures.
Exact.
And there's also that traditional practice of pollarding, which seems to have some unexpected benefits for beetles.
It's a great example of how human practices can sometimes work in harmony with nature, pollarding.
Mm.
While primarily done for livestock fodder, has actually created a mosaic of habitats within those wooded pastures.
What?
By opening up the canopy and creating more dead wood. it's inadvertently boosted the diversity of microhabitats for these beetles.
So a practice that seems potentially harmful at first glance actually turns out to be beneficial for some species. It really highlights the importance of understanding those complex interactions before making decisions about land management, right?
Absolutely. It's not always black and white. Sometimes what seems like a simple solution can have ripple effects throughout the ecosystem. And that's where research like this is so crucial. It helps us see those connections and make choices that benefit both humans and the environment.
Okay, so we've talked about threats, conservation efforts, and the surprising role of tradition. If you had to sum up the key message of this research paper, what would it be? What do you hope listeners take away from this deep dive?
The biggest takeaway, for me, is that even seemingly degraded or human-influenced habitats can be incredibly valuable for biodiversity. This wooded pasture in Turkey, with its pollarded oaks and long history of human activity, turned out to be a hotspot for Ciproxylic beetles, including species new to science and those facing threats. It's a reminder that we need to look beyond appearances and appreciate the hidden complexities of these ecosystems.
It's a powerful message, and it makes you wonder what other treasures might be hiding in plain sight waiting to be discovered. Speaking of discovery, we've been focusing on window traps as the primary method for collecting these beetles. But were there any other methods the researchers could have used?
Definitely. Window traps are great for catching flying beetles. But other methods could reveal even more about the beetle community. Pitfall traps, for example, are set on the ground and catch beetles that are crawling around.
So it's like getting a ground-level view of the beetle world rather than an aerial perspective.
Exactly. And they could have also taken bark samples from the trees.
Oh.
This would allow them to identify those species that live deep within the wood, the ones that are rarely seen out in the open.
So it's like peeling back the layers of the forest, revealing those hidden worlds within. It makes you wonder what other secrets are tucked away in those wooded pastures waiting to be uncovered.
It's an invitation to keep exploring, to keep asking questions, and to keep pushing the boundaries of our knowledge. There's always more to learn. And the more we understand about these ecosystems, the better equipped we are to protect them.
It's been an incredible journey exploring the world of Ciproxylic beetles in Turkey. We've uncovered a hidden world of diversity, complexity, and even a touch of glamour. Who knew beetles could be so fascinating?
It's been a reminder that even seemingly ordinary places can harbor extraordinary life. And it's a reminder that we are all interconnected, from the smallest beetle to the tallest oak tree.
So the next time you're walking through a forest, take a moment to appreciate those tiny creatures underfoot. They might just surprise you with their beauty, their complexity, and their vital role in the grand scheme of things.
Well said. And remember, folks, there's a whole universe waiting to be discovered right in your own backyard. All you have to do is open your eyes and start exploring.
And for our listeners who want to dive deeper into the world of Ciproxylic beetles, be sure to check out the show notes for links to the research paper and some stunning images of these incredible creatures.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep the wonder alive.
We'll see you on our next deep dive. Okay, so we've got this incredible community of beetles, each with its own dietary niche and role to play. But it's not just about what they eat, is it? It's about how they contribute to the larger ecosystem, right?
Exactly. These beetles might seem small and insignificant, but they're actually vital to the health of these wooded pastures. They're like the tiny gears that keep the whole machine running smoothly.
So let's talk about their ecological roles. What are some of the ways these beetles impact their surroundings?
Well, for starters, they're a crucial food source for other animals, especially birds.
Birds?
Yeah. Think about woodpeckers, for instance.
Okay.
They rely on those juicy beetle larvae tucked away in dead wood. The paper even mentions that there's ongoing research into how birds use this habitat with a focus on those woodpeckers and their beetle buffets.
It's amazing to think about those connections, how the fate of these tiny beetles is linked to the survival of these magnificent birds. So food for birds, what else?
They're also master recyclers.
Oh, wow.
By breaking down dead wood, they help return essential nutrients to the soil, enriching it and supporting the growth of new plants. It's like nature's composting system. And these beetles are the key players.
So they're not just living in the wood. They're actually helping to create more life. And some of them are even predators, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Those predatory beetles help keep other insect populations in check, preventing outbreaks that could damage the forest. They're like the tiny pest control agents, maintaining balance within the ecosystem.
It's fascinating how everything is interconnected. A healthy beetle population means a healthy forest ecosystem. But I'm curious, How did the researchers actually collect all these beetles? It couldn't have been a simple walk in the woods.
You're right about that. They use a clever tool called a window trap.
What's that?
Picture this. A plexiglass sheet mounted on a tree trunk with a container below filled with a mixture of antifreeze and water.
So the beetles fly into the sheet and fall into the container, like a tiny beetle swimming pool. Clever way to catch them.
Exactly.
Okay.
The beetles are attracted to the sheet, bump into it, and then fall into the container. And don't worry, it's a humane method of collection used specifically for research purposes.
Okay, good to know. And they check these traps over a long period, right?
Yes. They set up 45 traps across the wooded pasture and check them every month, from June to October 2017. This gave them a really good snapshot of beetle activity throughout the warmer months.
Okay.
It's a lot of work, but it provides valuable data for understanding these beetles.
I can imagine. All those beetles, carefully collected and then meticulously identified. Talk about dedication to science. And this dedication wasn't just about identifying already known species, was it?
Not at all. Remember those 33 species new to Turkey? Well, discovering those required a lot of detective work. Sometimes it even involved consulting with specialists in different beetle families.
So like a beetle CSI team, each expert focusing on their own clues.
Exactly.
And what's fascinating is that these discoveries contribute to our broader understanding of beetle biodiversity, not just in Turkey, but globally.
Precisely. Every new species we identify adds another piece to the puzzle of life on Earth.
Yeah.
It helps us understand the intricate connections between species, their evolution, and their role in the ecosystem.
It's like each beetle is a tiny ambassador, representing its family and its place in the web of life. And speaking of that web, we've talked about the positive roles beetles play, but we also need to address the threats they face. We mentioned the red list and those near-threatened and vulnerable species. What are the main factors putting these beetles at risk?
Habitat loss is a major culprit, and it's a global problem. As forests are cleared for development, agriculture, or timber, those specialized beetle habitats vanish. It's like their homes are being bulldozed, leaving them with nowhere to go.
It's a sad reality that our need for space and resources often comes at the expense of these incredible creatures. And are there any other threats specific to this region of Turkey that are impacting beetles?
The paper highlights a concerning trend, the decline of old hollow trees. Those ancient trees with their nooks and crannies, their decaying wood. They're like luxury apartments for some beetle species.
Yeah.
And as those old trees disappear, so do those specialized habitats.
I guess some beetles are more discerning than others. It's like losing those penthouses in a beetle metropolis, right?
Right.
And we know that those old trees are important for other reasons too, like providing nesting sites for birds and contributing to the structural diversity of the forest. So it's a loss on multiple levels. But are there any positive developments in terms of conservation efforts? Any signs of hope for these beetles?
Well, the research itself is a huge step forward.
Okay.
By documenting this biodiversity, highlighting the threats, and providing valuable data, the researchers are raising awareness and giving conservationists and policymakers the information they need to make informed decisions.
Knowledge is power, right?
Right.
The more we understand, the better equipped we are to protect these incredible creatures. And there's also that traditional practice of pollarding, which seems to have some unexpected benefits for beetles.
It's a great example of how human practices can sometimes work in harmony with nature. Pollarding, while primarily done for a livestock fodder, has actually created a mosaic of habitats within those wooded pastures. By opening up the canopy and creating more deadwood, it's inadvertently boosted the diversity of microhabitats for these beetles.
So a practice that seems potentially harmful at first glance actually turns out to be beneficial for some species. It really highlights the importance of understanding those complex interactions before making decisions about land management, right?
Absolutely. It's not always black and white. Sometimes what seems like a simple solution can have ripple effects throughout the ecosystem. And that's where research like this is so crucial. It helps us see those connections and make choices that benefit both humans and the environment.
Okay, so we've talked about threats, conservation efforts, and the surprising role of tradition. If you had to sum up the key message of this research paper, what would it be? What do you hope listeners take away from this deep dive?
The biggest takeaway for me is that even seemingly degraded or human-influenced habitats can be incredibly valuable for biodiversity. This wooded pasture in Turkey, with its pollarded oaks and long history of human activity, turned out to be a hotspot for saproxylic beetles, including species new to science and those facing threats. It's a reminder that we need to look beyond appearances and appreciate the hidden complexities of these ecosystems.
It's a powerful message, and it makes you wonder what other treasures might be hiding in plain sight waiting to be discovered. Speaking of discovery, we've been focusing on window traps as the primary method for collecting these beetles. But were there any other methods the researchers could have used?
Definitely. Window traps are great for catching flying beetles. But other methods could reveal even more about the beetle community. Pitfall traps, for example, are set on the ground and catch beetles that are crawling around.
So it's like getting a ground-level view of the beetle world rather than an aerial perspective.
Exactly. And they could have also taken bark samples from the trees. This would allow them to identify those species that live deep within the wood, the ones that are rarely seen out in the open.
So it's like peeling back the layers of the forest, revealing those hidden worlds within. It makes you wonder what other secrets are tucked away in those wooded pastures, waiting to be uncovered.
It's an invitation to keep exploring, to keep asking questions, and to keep pushing the boundaries of our knowledge. There's always more to learn. And the more we understand about these ecosystems, the better equipped we are to protect them.
It's been an incredible journey, exploring the world of Ceproxylic beetles in Turkey. We've uncovered a hidden world of diversity, complexity, and even a touch of glamour. Who knew beetles could be so fascinating?
It's amazing how we often overlook the smaller creatures, like beetles.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to focus on the big, charismatic animals. But these little guys are the unsung heroes, quietly working behind the scenes to keep the ecosystem humming. It's a good reminder that every creature, no matter how small, has a role to play. And in this case, the fate of these beetles is closely intertwined with those magnificent oak trees.
That's right. It's a symbiotic relationship, a partnership that's evolved over centuries. The health of those oaks is directly linked to the diversity and abundance of those Ceproxylic beetles that call them home.
And remember that traditional practice of pollarding. It turns out that it's not just beneficial for the goats, but for the beetles too.
It's incredible how a practice that's been going on for centuries can have such a positive impact on biodiversity. But how exactly does pollarding help the beetles?
By opening up the canopy and creating more dead wood, pollarding has actually increased the diversity of microhabitats within these wooded pastures. It's like creating a beetle buffet with something for everyone.
Wow.
You've got beetles that prefer fresh wood, others that love decaying bark, and still others that specialize in those nutrient-rich hollows.
So it's not just about the quantity of dead wood, but about the variety. Pollarding creates this mosaic of habitats, this intricate tapestry of life that supports a whole range of beetle species.
Precisely. And it highlights the importance of understanding these complex interactions between human practices and the natural world. Sometimes what seems like a simple solution can have unintended consequences, both positive and negative.
It's a reminder that we need to approach land management with a holistic perspective, considering all the interconnected elements of the ecosystem. But back to our beetles for a moment. This research focused on window traps as the primary method for collecting those thousands of beetles. Were there any other techniques they could have used to get a different perspective on the beetle community?
Absolutely. Window traps are great for catching flying beetles. But other methods could have revealed even more about the beetle community. Pitfall traps, for instance, are set at ground level and catch those beetles that are crawling around in the leaf litter.
So it's like getting a ground level view of the beetle world rather than an aerial perspective.
Exactly. And they could have also taken bark samples from the trees. This would allow them to identify those species that live deep within the wood, the ones that are rarely seen out in the open.
It's like peeling back the layers of the forest, revealing those hidden worlds within. It makes you wonder what other secrets are tucked away in those wooded pastures waiting to be uncovered.
It's an invitation to keep exploring, to keep asking questions, and to keep pushing the boundaries of our knowledge. There's always more to learn. And the more we understand about these ecosystems, the better equipped we are to protect them.
It's been an incredible journey exploring the world of Ceproxylic beetles in Turkey. We've uncovered a hidden world of diversity, complexity, and even a touch of glamour. Who knew beetles could be so fascinating?
It's been a reminder that even seemingly ordinary places can harbor extraordinary life. And it's a reminder that we are all interconnected, from the smallest beetle to the tallest oak tree.
So the next time you're walking through a forest, take a moment to appreciate those tiny creatures underfoot. They might just surprise you with their beauty, their complexity, and their vital role in the grand scheme of things.
Well said. And remember, folks, there's a whole universe waiting to be discovered. Right in your own backyard. All you have to do is open your eyes and start exploring.
And for our listeners who want to dive deeper into the world of saproxylic beetles, be sure to check out the show notes for links to the research paper and some stunning images of these incredible creatures.
Until next time, keep exploring,
Ooh.
Keep learning, and keep the wonder alive.
We'll see you on our next deep dive.